Hi guys, it's Joanne. Before we kick off the show today, I want to tell you something real quick. My guest today is Shelley F. Knight, and she is the host of Positive Changes, a Self-Kick podcast, and I am her guest on her podcast today. So after you get finished listening, I know you'll want to head over to check out my episode on her podcast. I just wanted to give you a little heads up about that. You are listening to the Fancy Free podcast where my guests and I tell our most embarrassing, funny stories so that we all feel less alone in our imperfections. I'm Joanne Jarrett, and I'm your host. Today, I have with me my guest, Shelley F. Knight. And this is especially exciting for me because Shelley is in UK, and it sounds like she's just sitting next door. It's great. Shelley is a once-upon-a-time nurse, clinical hypnotherapist, and writer who provides an eclectic blend of clinical and spiritual expertise in her specialist subjects of positive psychology, spirituality, and end of life. She is the author of Positive Changes, a self-kick book that came out in November of 2018, and is a freelance writer for international magazines. Armed with a first-class degree in adult nursing and a plethora of holistic qualifications, Shelley is focused on encouraging individuals with her message that life goes on, particularly following times of loss or feeling stuck in their life. Shelley, thank you so much for being with me today.
Thank you for having me. Hello.
Hello. What did I miss? Fill in the blanks about who you are and what you do.
I think you've absolutely nailed it, Joanne. I can't think of anything else to say. Yeah, as you said, as above.
Yes. Well, Shelley also is dealing with a sick dog today, so you may hear some sounds in the background, and if you do, that's okay. We have multiple things in common, our medical background, but we also have kids at home. I'm so excited to talk to you today.
I'm excited too. Yeah. I like our matching backgrounds. I'm probably way too excited.
That's so cute. Oh my gosh. Well, as you know, the point of this podcast is to tell our most embarrassing, funny stories and to make our listeners laugh and to make them feel less alone and to remind them that they're not the only fool out there. So what have you got for us today? Tell me about your not so fancy moments.
I have so many. I just spend so many minutes of each day just making myself laugh because that kind of thing, shall I laugh or shall I cry? As we know that I've got a medical background as well. And I was working in rehabilitation, so getting people back after a life-changing illness. And we had a really, really frail elderly lady, bless her, who was desperate for the toilet. And so I was trying to get across the ward to the toilet. And in my little world, I was being really, really good and helpful. But I was saying to her, go towards the light, because the bathroom had the sun shining through it. And I thought, this is really encouraging, you know, Mother Nature at her finest. So I was like, just going, go to the light, follow the light. And then out the corner of my eye, you know, when you sense someone staring at you, like that kind of spiritual slap. And the mate was just there, like doing the, you know, like you put your hand in front of your throat and say, stop, no more. Yes. And I kept saying, go towards the light. And everyone was just sort of like, you're literally telling her to just die. And I was just, but I don't see the world like that. And I thought, oh, I'm Mrs. Positive, you know, go towards the light. We've got this. And yeah, so everyone was just sort of like, oh, you know, just get to the toilet, not to heaven.
Oh, it's like you see somebody whip their head around on their neck out of the corner of your eye and you think, what have I done? Oh,
I'm not just like really exciting and empowering. And you're like, oh no, I sound like an absolute wally. Yes.
It is sometimes really hard to give clear directions, even within a building, as to where to find something. So if you can find something that's easy and descriptive and unique to where you're going, it just makes so much sense to say, go toward the light, you know?
Absolutely. You see?
I love it.
That's a little sign.
Yes, I'm totally with you on that. And I'm kind of ever the optimist. And so I know for a fact it would not have occurred. I wouldn't have been one of those people with their head whipping around on their necks. I would have been like, oh, how nice. She's just really, you know, taking good care of that little lady. Well, I have found that you do have to sort of self-edit as you speak to patients. And it is so nice to be able to talk to somebody who kind of has the medical knowledge and for whom you can sort of speak in shorthand, you know?
Yes.
In fact, when I go to the doctor, and you'll have to tell me whether this happens to you too, I always struggle with whether or not to reveal my medical background because I don't want to seem like I'm trying to tell them that I'm equal on their level or that I might know something they don't know. I don't want it to be seen as posturing, but I do feel like it's relevant, right? Because, you know, they can speak to me in language that may be much more efficient should they know I have this knowledge. And they won't be embarrassed if they find out after the fact and think, oh my gosh, I was so patronizing just because I was explaining things she already understood. So I usually do reveal. And then it is so interesting how the language changes, the efficiency bumps up, and you're just kind of speaking on a completely different plane. Does that happen with you? What happens when you go to the doctor?
I don't. I'm a bit of a secret squirrel.
Oh, really?
So I think, don't say that you've got a medical background, but then you just do like Freudian slips, don't you? Where you just say like, oh, well, I've been apyrexial.
Oh, you can't hide it. Yeah.
Yeah. And it just comes out, doesn't it?
Uh-huh. Oh, for sure.
I don't like to give too much away. But the time as well, not to tell people that you used to be, my background was mostly hematology, oncology, and palliative care. So I was a chemotherapy nurse effectively. Mm. And so I'm really good at cannulating like really bad veins. And so when you go for a blood test and they go, oh, I'm just, and they start slapping you, don't they? You're trying to find that sacred vein. Oh, yes. And I say, can I just tell you which vein it is? Because I'm a little bit precious because I used to be a chemo nurse. And it just comes out then and they get really nervous. You said that you used to be a chemo nurse. They're like, my God, she knows what she's doing with veins. Yeah, I do make them nervous.
Oh, totally. And then you're like, just hand me the needle. I'll take care of it.
Yeah. It was a bit of self-harm in the afternoon.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing. I don't want to make anybody feel nervous. Sometimes I think to myself, well, if they know I have a medical background, they might assume that I know something that I don't know. I want the whole story here, you know? So
yes.
Sometimes it can work against you that way too. Tell me about your other not so fancy moment that you mentioned about a lady you were talking to.
So this must be about 10 years ago, and this isn't work related. This is me being allowed out of work. I'll just start the story, Joanne. I'll try and to justify it, aren't I, really? So once upon a time, when I was heavily pregnant, we was in what we call a soft play area. So a bit like padded cells for children, really.
Oh. Yes.
They're like indoor soft areas. And my son came running back. And, you know, they think, oh, they're going to run to me kind of thing. And he zoomed off in a different direction and flung his arms around this lady.
Oh, my goodness.
So I went over to, like, retrieve said child. And I went, oh, I'm so sorry. He obviously just saw your bump. You know, that bump connection mm-hmm. you have. Mm-hmm. Thought no more of it. Retrieve child. And then my husband pointed out that the lady with the bump was crying to her friends because apparently she wasn't pregnant. Oh. Which is really bad. I know. There was trying to get my elderly patient into heaven and the toilet. But I don't think I'm going that way because my husband said, Shirley, she's not even pregnant. Oh. And you could hear her saying to her friends, like, and I've lost so much weight recently. And I was like, oh my God, I am so sorry. She did have a lovely shaped tummy. It was kind of lovely and rounded.
I think a completely honest mistake. And here's the other thing that we do. I think especially when we are pretty intuitive people and like to meet people on a deeper level is we are looking for commonalities all the time. And so sometimes I think we see a commonality where there isn't one because we're trying desperately to find them so that we can connect with people, you know?
Yes, I'm going to go with that. Mm-hmm.
I say to you, do not feel embarrassed about that. And that poor lady, I'm sure she got over it. Maybe it inspired her to lose even more weight.
Do you know what, though? I don't know if she got over it, but my husband has put a lifelong ban on me approaching anybody to ask if they're expecting. And so now if I think someone's expecting, it's like a covert thing. I have to ask my friend to ask her friend if she knows if that person's pregnant. And I'm like, I always, you know, because my background's palliative care, I always think life's too short. Let me just let me ask them.
Let me just find out the facts here.
Yeah, you know, as you say, worst case scenario. But lifelong ban now of approaching anyone with a slight tummy.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I think it's an easy mistake.
Yeah, totally. Would you say that your husband embarrasses more easily or you embarrass more easily?
I don't get embarrassed.
There you go. Yeah.
No, not really. No, he apologizes for me and I slap him, if I'm honest. I do slap him because it's like, don't apologize for who I am. It takes like a good 40 years, doesn't it, to get to that point where you think, yes, I am good enough. Do you know what I mean?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, so don't apologize for it. I've been a work in progress for years. Let's just go with it.
Yeah, well, furthermore, when I make a foible like that, I look around the room and I think, you are welcome. I just made you feel better about yourself for not being as silly as I am. You know, it's like a public service, you know?
Oh my God, it so is.
Yeah. So that's the way I look at it. Do you have a quick life hack that you've discovered that you think the listeners will like as well?
I always say choose your battles. And I don't mean like going out and choosing who you're going to battle with. Just like, you know, when you're about to lose it with someone, like we've got kids, Joanna, and you just think, and they're saying like, I don't want to go to bed because I want to stick a dinosaur in my brother's ear, or she's stuck in my air, and all the things you have. You just think, choose your battles. Is it worth it? Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you cannot live life on a battleground. You have to You have to step into that when it's absolutely necessary and just let go of it when it isn't. I think that's so great. Yes, I love it.
Yeah. Like, will this matter in 5 years' time? And I'm thinking, no, yes. Let it go.
That's such a good perspective. It's a really good question to ask yourself. Will it matter in 5 years? I love it.
Yeah.
Awesome. What have you been loving lately that you think the listeners would love too?
I've been quite lazy.
I love that.
I'm just, you know, like when you're younger, like it's Friday night and you're going to go down and out and, you know, you're going to be in sub-zero temperatures in like a vest and that. And I'm like, actually, I'm not going to be in my pajamas. Maybe a bit of art and crafts, snuggling with the husband, maybe the dog. They're both on an equal par sometimes. But just finding joy in the simple things in life. It's not about the, you know, the going out, being seen to look a certain way.
Yep.
Just find, you know, something extraordinary in the ordinary. So yeah, just like nights in, reading a good book, walking the dog, things like that.
Yeah, I love it.
I'm a simple soul, simple soul.
Well, I am becoming like that too as I age. And I think maybe that is part of maturing and growing up, because I remember when my husband and I were first married, on a Saturday, if we didn't have any plans, I would say to him, what are we doing today? What are we doing? And he'd be sitting and relaxing and he'd look at me and he'd go, you're looking at it. This is what I want to do. And I don't know why I put such value on go, go, go and being busy. Whereas now in a little more, you know, in my 40s, you know, and you have to not define it to yourself as lazy. I say to myself, I'm going to rest. I'm going to rest today. It's okay. It's okay if I want to rest. And I've been loving that too. So, and we just recently moved to a rural area where it takes a long time to get anywhere. And it's so beautiful and peaceful here that many times I just think, why would I leave here? You know?
Yeah.
It's so wonderful. Do you have a funny first date story for us?
Yes.
Oh, goody.
Not surprised, really. It's like, you know, apologize to the lady who wasn't pregnant, but in my teenage years, you know, like when all your friends are dating, so then they think it's their like life purpose to set you up.
Yes.
I've got to be really polite now, but I was on a blind date and it would help to be blind to see attraction in that moment. Just, I can't think of a nice way to say it. And it was just really awful. You know, like people, I don't know if you say it over there, but if you've got someone here who isn't blessed in the looks department, they will say, oh, but I bet they've got a great personality.
Oh, yeah, same thing.
But there wasn't that either.
Oh, my. If there's no chemistry and the person is not appealing to you in a physical or emotional way, then that's that, you know?
Yeah. And I don't know, this is before like my years of nursing and palliative care, but life becomes very precious. But I do just skip to the end. And I thought, I know I don't want to go on a second date. I don't even be on the first date. And so I climbed out the toilet window in the restaurant. Do you mean? I'm lucky I'm alive to tell the story. Good thing it wasn't like upstairs, really, wasn't it? But I just, you know, I think now, if you went on a date now, you'd just be like, you know what? It's not really working. Thanks for coming out. You know, it's really courageous of you. Mm-hmm. Shake hands, leave out the main door, wouldn't you?
Yes, after a somewhat awkward but courageous interaction. But you know what? We have to learn to be brave when it comes to conversations like that. It does not come naturally to some of us, or most of us, I think.
And now I've got the courage, but I haven't really got the agility to get out of a bathroom window. So I think, you know, it was the right thing to do at the time, given my, you know, agile body at the time.
Your agile body and your young, your young psyche. Exactly. And now you would do things differently, but that's okay.
Now I'd use my mouth rather than my legs.
Yes. I do not like confrontation. I shy away from it. But as I mature, I realize that there's a certain amount of confrontation that is fair, necessary, and just. And even though it's hard, it's something that we have to do. And so I have, and of course, this wouldn't have worked for you in your situation because you were on a blind date, but I've told my girls before, I've been on dates that I had no business being on because I knew I wasn't interested in the person, but I had a hard time saying no, and I didn't want to make them feel bad in the moment. So I went on the date. Well, what does that do? That makes that waste their time. It might waste their money. It gets their hopes up. And then you still have to let them down. And so I tell my girls, you know, you just need to be brave for 30 seconds and be kind and courteous and say to someone who asks you out that you're not interested in, I really appreciate the invitation, but I don't see our relationship developing that way or something. I don't know. But it's a tricky situation. How old are your kids?
Oh, I'm going to look like a really bad mum now. I'll have to count down.
do the math, Shelley. Do the math.
Favoritism. Yeah. I love you all, but let me just think of how old you are. 39, 7, and 5. There you go.
Oh, you have a whole gaggle. That's why. That's woo.
Yeah. And I'll be better at the end of the year. If we talk again at the end of the year, I'm better because then they go into even numbers and that's a lot better for my mind. I'm like, I can rattle it off. But when it's like, you know, odd numbers, I'm like 13, 9, 7, 5, don't include the dog. But yes, mm-hmm. we've got 4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. So you're not quite to the age where you're counseling your kids on dating. It's a whole nother ball of wax, I tell you. It's really interesting.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. It is.
I'm going to borrow your be brave for 30 seconds thing. I love that. That's far better than going out of a window, far more dignified for everyone on that date.
Yeah, but I agree with you, but I would have been in the window too. I can promise you. I feel like our job is to look at some of the things we did as a kid that we, in retrospect, don't approve of, you know, and to sort of try to teach our kids to avoid those things. But they're going to do just as many things when they mature they're not going to approve of. We learn by living, right? And there's only so much you can be told by your parents. Some of that you just have to experience for yourself. So please in no way think I'm criticizing the 15-year-old you for scrambling out a window. I commend you. I think you got yourself out of it. However, we have told the girls, if they're in situations that they really feel uncomfortable or unsafe, the thing is, just get out of there. Prioritize your own safety over social propriety. And so, you know, maybe you were really doing that. Maybe you were sensing something that was like, I got to get out of here. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
What is the best piece of advice you've ever been given?
Oh, I'm just thinking, if I was given it, did I even listen to it? But I might have done.
Right.
No, it would probably have to be my beautiful stepdad. He died back in 2005. Mm. Most amazing soul. Beautiful, beautiful man. But in my like begrudging, grungy, gothic-y teenage years, he used to always say like anything that happened, Joanne, he'd be like, Shelley, it will be all right. Mm. And I used to be like, really like, oh, you know, my dark burgundy lipstick going like, oh my God, you don't understand me.
What do you know? Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was just totally breaking my heart. And he always used to say, it will be all right. Or life goes on. Mm. And I used to think like, oh, what do you know? Turns out our parents actually know quite a lot.
They sure do.
Yeah. Damn. They knew it all along.
Wise, wise. Yeah.
But you say, yeah, it will be all right. And it really is. Mm-hmm. I know it doesn't feel it at the time, but whatever we're going through, it will be all right. Even if it's like, you know, an end of a relationship, you know, a death of someone, mm-hmm. a job we didn't get, whatever it is, it will be all right because we carry on, don't we?
Yes, absolutely. And some of that is just perspective and where we set our eyes.
Yeah.
Where we put our gaze and yeah. Oh, that's so good. It's very simple it will be all right. That would be a good mantra to have if I were someone who had mantras.
Do you know what? I don't know if we just got a warped sense of humor in our family, but on my dad's headstone, we have actually got "it will be all right."
Oh, no, I love that. I think we have a completely warped sense of humor, and maybe it's medical families. I don't know. But my dad's a neurosurgeon and he is so funny. So he says a lot of morbid things. He's always talking about when he ends up in the pine box and stuff like that. And my sister and I are like, "Dad," and we roll our eyes, you know, but that's just his humor. But his very favorite thing to say is the most important thing in this world is family. Not to be morbid. I'm sorry, Dad, if you're listening, I love you so much. And I hope this is very, very far off in the future. But I can actually see us engraving that on his headstone because it was like what he was about, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Kind of sums them up in a few words. What is one surprising thing about you that nobody would be able to tell just by looking?
I like to get messy.
Really?
Yeah. I really like the creative process of art, you know, like anything like acrylics, watercolor, even like, you know, Play-Doh with the kids. I like to get messy, all that kind of sensory stuff. I'm absolutely rubbish at art. But the process, that mindful process where the world can just stop and wait, oh, I love it. But you wouldn't think it because I got my hair straight, you know, the makeup done, my long nails. But I like to get mucky.
So the end result isn't necessarily something you love, but the process you really enjoy.
Yeah, I throw away most of my artwork. I go to art on a Thursday and they're just like, "We know where it's going to end, but just show with the class what you've made this week." And I think out of the year I've been going, I think I've got 4 pieces of work that I've kept in a dark corner, but I've kept them, yeah.
Well, you got to have something to show for your time. It's not about the end product necessarily. There's so much therapy and so much enjoyment in the process. And it just goes to show that if we stay in the moment, we can get such good out of it, even if, you know, where we end up isn't necessarily where we wanted to end up. There's still value in the journey, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Well, please tell my listeners where they can find you, because I know they're all going to want more Shelley Knight.
So I've got a website, which is shelleyfknight.com. And on there, it's got all my blogs, podcasts, my book, photo of my face. That could put them off, though. And I publish a book as well, Positive Changes, a self-kick book. And that's in paperback or ebook. And that's, you can go via my website or straight to the amazing world of Amazon.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
And you can follow me on Facebook, because it'd be a bit strange if you did it in person. But you can follow me on Facebook. And that's Shelley F. Knight. And there's a tagline called "Life Goes On," which is what my dad used to say.
Aw. Okay, excellent. I will link to all of those things on the show notes. But if you're not a show note type person and you really want to find Shelley, let me quickly spell her name for you. It's Shelleyfknight. So you can find Shelley at shelleyfknight.com. Oh my goodness, Shelley, this has been so much fun. Thank you so much for joining me today and sharing your silly stories.
Oh, bless you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Okay, Shelley is one of my new favorite people, you guys. I had so much fun talking with her, and you're definitely going to want to head over to Positive Changes, a self-kick podcast, so that you can hear her wonderful podcast. The first, I think, 6 episodes are solo episodes where she talks about different aspects of life, and they are amazing. She lays down truth bombs and is so warm and always has some funny thing to say and some quirky angle. I just love her. Her episodes are wonderful. You have to check out that show. But then also today, she has published her interview with me, and we talk about why I think it's so important to share humor with the people around us, and also how to navigate being a stay-at-home mom after having been a professional. Thank you so much for listening today. On Monday, we have a super exciting episode. I just really can hardly wait for this one, you guys. I interviewed Abby Jimenez of Nadia Cakes Bakery. She is a Food Network star. She won Cupcake Wars, and she has written 2 awesome, hilarious, and amazing fiction books. Like, this woman has it all. And she tells the funniest stories. I had to excuse myself to get myself together and blow my nose. We were just laughing our heads off. So I know you're going to want to come back for Monday's episode. Make sure you hit the subscribe button so new episodes pop into your feed each week. If you want more connection and fun and laughter, please request to join the Fancy Free Facebook group. We're having so much fun over there. We do a question of the week each week. There's also a really exciting new feature on fancyfreepodcast.com. There is a voice recording feature where you can send me a quick little clip that I can put on the show about an embarrassing moment you may have had. So just go to fancyfreepodcast.com and click the button to record a voice memo. It does not have to be perfect. I can edit it on my side if you pause or stumble or anything. So don't feel like you have to prepare and practice. Just get on there, send me a voice recording and give me a good laugh, and then maybe you'll show up on the show. Or if you don't want to do it that way, if you have a story to tell and you think you might want to be a guest, then email me at notfancy@fancyfreepodcast.com. I'd love to hear from you. Check out Fancy Free Podcast Instagram feed. We often will have little video clips of episodes so that you can kind of sample the flavor of an episode. And I would absolutely love it if you would follow us over there. Okay, real quick, while you're thinking about it, get into your podcast app too and search for Positive Change is a Self-Kick Podcast and check out my interview with Shelley. Have a great week. And remember, no one is as fancy as they look.